Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for May 19th, 2015. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll get the latest growing season statistics for the week just ended for Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota. Todd Gleason will be by to discuss negative fundamental pressures on farm income this year and potentially next. And Don Day will have agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's see how futures settled on this Tuesday afternoon. Hard red winter July wheat, 540 down 15. September, 550 and a half down 14. Soft July wheat, 510 and a quarter, settled down 11 and a half. September, 518 and a half down 10 and three quarters. July corn settled 362 down 6. September, 369 and a quarter down 6. December, 380 and a quarter down 5 and a half. July of 16, 404 and one quarter down 5 and a half. July beans settled at 946 and a quarter down 8 and a quarter. September, 926 down 11 and three quarters. November, 923 and a half down 11 and one half. July soybean meal, 307.10 down 90 cents. July soybean oil, 32.18 down 60. And now some last trades on the livestock side. June live cattle, 151.80 up 22 and a half. May feeder cattle trading 219.50 up 52 and a half. And June lean hogs are trading at 82.25, and they are down 15. And those are last trades and settlements from the Chicago Board of Trade. Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says that frost and freezing temperatures damaged a few crops in the northwestern Corn Belt this morning. Most of the serious damage was limited to minor corn and soybean production areas. Only a small portion of the corn and soybeans had emerged in that region, and whatever losses that may have occurred should not have a significant impact on total U.S. production. Drew goes on to say another round of frost and light freeze will occur Wednesday morning from eastern North Dakota and northeastern South Dakota to central and northern Minnesota to central and northern Wisconsin. The eastern Midwest will see little significant rain through Saturday. In the western Midwest, most areas will see little significant rain through Friday. Nebraska into Kansas and Missouri will be exceptions, and some planting should occur today before rain returns tonight into Wednesday, with another round of rain occurring Friday. A period of wet weather will begin Saturday in the west and Sunday in the east, and frequent rounds of rain will occur in the first days of June. The threat for more widespread flooding will increase during the next 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Dave.
We started the day out with a lot of red on the screen, and we finished the day the same way, although at one point we were even lower than we are now.
Yeah, we had some quite heavy sell-offs, a little bit of bounce back. You know, we settled the corn a couple cents off the lows, the beans about 4 cents off the lows, and the wheat, basically, it come about 7 cents off the lows. So we did come back later in the day that way and sell that way. But basically, the strong dollar and the favorable weather forecast from here on in, other than that little bit of freeze you're talking about in the Dakotas and northern Minnesota, and, of course, last night didn't amount to as much as they thought. We talked to some farmers just west of Fargo, and it said it froze standing water outside their back door, but the corn's too short. The growing point's below the ground. The beans aren't up yet, but they are a little worried that the cold, damp soil might keep those beans from coming up good. And they said down around Fargo, why they're worried more about the spring wheat that's up and what damage it might be done to that. But all in all, it only hit about 20% of what was forecast to hit at those sort of temperatures. So that was sort of boo-hooed, and was the today would have been the fourth day that the rally would have been, and a lot of times after 3 days, they sort of fade out, Dave.
So we move on forward with a higher dollar as we go into the mid portion of this week, and we now have to begin to ask ourselves, are we looking for a weekly low below last week's low?
Yeah, that's a real good question. We're going to have some awfully good weather to finish up that last 15% of corn and that last 55% of beans here coming on. And that's one thing that's going to be a little bit hard on it. Can we continue to see crude oil fall like $2 like it's down today and the dollar shoot back towards par? And, you know, who is going to be here to continue to sell off that? The one thing, you know, we did see some bean sales to China on old crop beans. A lot of guys are boo-hooing that and saying it won't ship till later, but it still was sales today. And, of course, we did see down around the Rosario, the strikers in Argentina, talks are continuing, and it looks like they've cleared a lot of the blockages down there with hopefully some promises of settling that strike coming to a head down there. So that would be a good thing to keep things rolling, but that's not good for the board.
It appears that the Bears have just put on earplugs and anything even remotely positive is being shrugged off now. And if you look at the trading of the technicals, we have made now new lows for the year in soybeans, and we're now under last year's lows.
Yeah, you know, the July beans dropped below that 950 support. July corn looks to be targeting 350 here now. You know, the Chicago wheat, that we had active fund buying the last 3 days coming into today, and it looks like, you know, we held some support and closed at, you know, 510, but it looks like that $5 is going to be a place that they're shooting for to see if they can take it below that. So I think that we've got the Bulls are going to have a harder job the rest of this week than the Bears probably.
And so you could see some reversals potentially. I don't know. I haven't looked to see if they're going to be key hook reversals, but reversals nonetheless. And that begs the question, where does the market settle down as we wait on more fundamental data?
Yeah, I think that is the big question. And a lot of that will be told in the farmers, whether they continue to sell. As they get done planting, will they haul some corn in saying, hey, we're past this. You know, once we've got it in the ground, we're willing to sell a little more. Or will they be stingy holders like they have been and keep the basis level up on the corn? I think that's going to be the trick on whether we go below 350 or not on the July corn. We were a little bit surprised that we closed under 950 here today. That's been very, very good support in the beans. It just doesn't seem like we can hold these beans up for very long. And, you know, as we looked at Informa now, his numbers last week, if they do actually come close to planting the acreage to beans that they were projecting rather than what the USDA said, that takes us over 500 million carryover, Dave. So that's even a little trickier yet.
And I don't care how good demand is, that is a lot of beans to get rid of.
That's a lot of beans to get rid of. You know, we saw the bean oil that had been holding things up a little bit sort of take a hit on the Malaysian palm oil stocks. That grew a little bit that way. So, you know, if palm can't be up there, why, it's going to be awful hard to take bean meal to be the driver for the beans.
So the question then becomes, we know that the inclination is for the market to potentially go lower, and potentially the weather is good in the United States to go quite a bit lower. And at some point, profit is below production cost. And I know there in some areas, producers probably already beginning to think about the implications of that this year. What do you have for them?
Not a lot, Dave. I mean, it is sort of glum when you look at cost of production and you figure everything in and you look at the prices on the board today. You know, $3.50 cash corn doesn't really cut it, and neither does the $9 beans. So, you know, we're in the situation where we need to try to do everything right and do it that way. So, you know, we're hoping there'll be one more possible little weather rally or something to get us up a little bit, you know, closer to that 950, 975 in the November beans. Maybe a little blip that could take us closer to $4 somewhere down the road, and then we better be probably putting some sort of bottoms in, at least on parts of our crops, because it doesn't look that good. But, and also I was pointed out by one of my traders that 2010 looked just like this when we were looking at the charts, and they very much mirror the 2015 ones, and up, 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 and away we went later in the summer. So, you know, there is some hope out there. But for right now, we don't know what that hope is going to be.
Thank you very much, Wayne. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. If you subscribe to our free Aggie newsletter, you can do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. Click on the link in the right navigation window. Weekly Ag letter with technicals and fundamentals and a forward look at what's potential in the marketplace. Yesterday afternoon, the National Agricultural Statistics Service gave us their latest crop progress report for the week ending May the 17th. The numbers look like this. Corn planted 85% versus 75% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 75%. Corn emerged 56% versus 29% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 40%. Soybeans planted 45% versus 31% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 36%. Soybeans emerged 13% versus the five-year rolling average of 12%. Winter wheat conditions look like this. Good to excellent, 45%. That's down 1 percentage point from a week ago. Fair, 36%. Poor, 13%. And very poor, 6%. Let's hear from the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, May 17th. Field work was limited last week due to widespread rains across the state. There were only 2.1 days suitable for field work. The state average rainfall was 1.41 inches, more than one-third of an inch above normal for the week. Topsoil moisture levels increased and are now rated as 3% short, 75% adequate, and 22% surplus. Subsoil moisture is now rated 9% short, 79% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn planting advanced 6 points to 94% complete compared to 82% normally. The percentage of corn acres where the crop has emerged is now at 75%, up from 42% last week and above last year's 57% and the five-year average of 53%. The condition of the crop is now rated as 2% in very poor or poor condition, 16% fair, and 82% good or excellent. Soybean planting moved up 14 points to 47% complete, compared to 35% 1 year ago and 36% normally. 14% of the crop has emerged, compared to 9% last year and 11% normally. In other crops, 70% of wheat acres are now heading, up from 36% last week and above the five-year average of 61%. The crop's condition was rated as 11% very poor or poor, 32% fair, and 57% good or excellent. Sorghum planting is now 26% complete. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is 10% finished, and 5% of other hay has been cut. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 17, 2015. Scattered storms throughout the week narrowed planting opportunities for corn and soybeans, but the warm weather was excellent for crop growth. Average temperatures ranged from 58 to 68 degrees, and from 1 degree below to 8 degrees above normal. The statewide average temperature for the week was 63.4 degrees, 1.7 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.38 to 3.83 inches, with a statewide average of 1.24 inches. Corn was 74% planted this week, compared to 70% last year and 68% five-year average. By region, corn was 75% planted in the north, 69% in central, and 84% in the south. Corn emerged was 40% complete, compared to 38% last year and 43% five-year average. By region, corn was 42% emerged in the north, 34% in central, and 46% in the south. Soybeans were 36% planted this week, compared to 32% last year and 38% five-year average. Regionally, soybeans planted was 32% complete in the north, 36% in central, and 45% in the south. Emergence in the corn and soybean crop has progressed smoothly and steadily with the warm temperatures. Some low-lying fields may need to be replanted due to soil saturation, but most fields were in good condition. Winter wheat condition has remained stable and has progressed quickly, surpassing last year by 10% for wheat headed. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 17, 2015. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
This is Brian Gallagher, Agricultural Statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 17, 2015. Wet and windy conditions slowed planting for Iowa farmers. Statewide, there were only 2.6 days suitable for field work. Operators reported the wet weather led to standing water in some fields, and the wind halted spraying activity. Topsoil moisture levels increased to 96% adequate to surplus. Subsoil moisture levels increased to 91% adequate to surplus. 92% of the corn crop has been planted, 6 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of the five-year average. Southwest Iowa is still lagging behind, with just 75% planted compared to Northwest Iowa, where 98% of the corn was in the ground. Corn emerged reached 63%, just over 1 week ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of normal. Soybean planting reached 51% complete, 3 days ahead of 2014 and 2 days ahead of the average. Only 17% of the expected soybean crop has been planted in southwest Iowa, with south central Iowa the next lowest at 40% complete. Livestock conditions were reported as mostly normal, with a majority of cattle being turned onto pasture. Some cattle lots were described as messy or muddy. Meanwhile, poultry producers across the state continue to discuss the effects of avian influenza. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending May 17, 2015. Precipitation across Minnesota limited farmers to only 1.7 days suitable for field work during the week. Despite the least amount of days suitable for field work since the season began, progress remained ahead of the normal pace. Recent precipitation increased soil moisture levels but caused some erosion and ponding. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 5% short, 80% adequate, and 14% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated 2% very short, 15% short, 81% adequate, and 2% surplus. 72% of the Minnesota corn crop had emerged, almost 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average. Soybean planting increased 9 percentage points during the week to reach 79% complete. 21% of the soybean acreage had emerged, that's 12 days ahead of the previous year and 10 days ahead of average. 90% of the spring wheat acreage was emerged, that's 4 weeks ahead of the previous year and just over 3 weeks ahead of normal. Spring wheat condition rated 55% good to excellent, dropping 6 points from last week. For the USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Farmers across the Corn Belt are going to make a lot less money this year than they have in the past. And as Todd Gleason reports, if something does not change, things may be even worse next year.
The farms most likely to lose money are cash rented by their tenants. The fixed land cost per acre is generally too high as related to commodity prices for corn and soybeans. A University of Illinois ag economist, Gary Schnittke, ran the disappointing numbers, and his price points were higher than the season's average cash price USDA released earlier in May. USDA is predicting a $3.50 cash price for corn.
Yeah, we're using $3.75. I would note as you lower the market year average price, you'll also likely increase ARC payments, as well as commodity program payments, as well as crop insurance payments because of lower prices. So there is sort of a mitigating factor as you go down in prices. But at the $3.75 price, and we're looking for both corn and soybeans, and we're using $9.50 for soybeans versus WASDE at $9 for next year, we're still seeing pretty low farmland returns for 2015.
If the cash rent paid is near average levels for the county, then Schnittke figures show an expected $67 per acre loss on highly productive central Illinois farmland. Share rent leases do better, but still it's pretty bad.
$21 a profit, but obviously in that case the landowner is receiving a lower return because of the share rent.
Those two numbers, 67 and 21, are the profits and loss based off a blend of corn and soybean being grown. Specifically, Schnittke says his crop budgets are projecting gross revenue from corn in the low to mid $800 per acre range.
Between 2010 and 2013, those corn gross revenues averaged above $1,000 per acre. It's really difficult to see a situation where we have gross revenues above $1,000 an acre. And we're going to be moving into a situation, unless we see dramatic price increases, where revenues and returns are tight, and that's going to then again lead to cash flow issues this fall, and where we're going to have to be making those tough cash rent fertilizer and seed choice decisions.
For what it's worth, Gary Schnittke and the rest of the University of Illinois Ag Econ Farm Doc team believe current commodity prices are at the bottom end of the new era plateau range and not at the top end of the old era. It doesn't help net income on the farm, but it does offer hope for the future. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Devil's Food Cake Day, also known as Red Velvet Cake, Red Devil's Cake, and $100 Cake. The dark, rich chocolate dessert dates back to at least the early 20th century. In 1902, the recipe first appeared in an American cookbook, and it found its way across magazines and cookbooks by 1913. The original recipe was a combination of mild chocolate flavoring, flour, sugar, eggs, shortening, and red dye number 40. By the way, when red dye was linked to cancer in the 1970s, the red color gave way to the chocolate variety popular today. On this day in agricultural history in 1834, Catherine Furbish was born. an American botanist. She spent almost 40 years traveling and painting watercolors of the flora of the state of Maine. In 1910, the Earth passed through the tail of Halley's Comet and nothing happened. There had been dire predictions that everyone would die, and many hucksters sold comet pills to counter the effects of the comet gas. The pills sold like crazy. On May 20th, after Earth had passed through the tail, everyone who had taken the pills was still alive, but then so was everyone else. When Halley's Comet returned in 1986, a Michigan museum offered comet pills to commemorate the 1910 scare. The new pills were actually a healthy snack of yogurt-covered sunflower seeds. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Traders pretty much discounted yesterday evening's frost and freeze in the Dakotas and northern Wisconsin and also northern Minnesota. Will they be discounting it again tomorrow morning?
Well, that's a good question. Probably not. I think that it's going to be another situation where it's going to be a close call, and if there are some areas that have some damage, it won't be widespread.
So pretty much they'll say, let's take the market down again.
There you go.
So, all right, so we'll take care of the frost, get that out of the way. Let's look at planting window. Window's getting open again, yes?
Yeah, it does. In fact, what I see coming over the next couple of weeks is I like to call this the Goldilocks pattern. It's kind of just right. We're going to see it not warm up dramatically, but warm up enough to help things dry out in between weather systems. And the weather systems that are going to come through will move quickly enough to not linger, but they're also going to bring beneficial precipitation. Once again, it's going to be the western, northwest, and southwest areas of the Corn Belt that have the best chances for heaviest precipitation. But some of the eastern areas of the Corn Belt, which have been a little drier, they're going to have some good chances for precipitation as well. So really, it's a pretty decent-looking stretch of weather coming, just about what you want.
Any threat for widespread flooding?
Well, right now I would say no. Now, if we're going to go down into the southern plains where the rain just keeps hitting Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, mm-hmm. and there's more coming into those areas, that would be one part of the country where flooding would be a concern.
Turn your attention to El Nino and put your money on the table. We're going to have an El Nino effect for the balance of the summer or not?
We will. It is looking more and more likely that this is going to be a moderate to strong El Nino ramping up through the summer and probably petering out by December or January. I don't think it's going to reach the super El Nino status that some folks are maybe talking about, but I do think it's going to impact the weather late summer and fall across especially the southern tier of the country. It could be great news for California and some areas of the dry Southwest.
Will it impact harvest?
Well, I would say no. What I see coming throughout all the way to the end of the harvest season is a pretty good pattern. If there's going to be increased chances for harvest delays, it'll be in the southern parts mm-hmm. of the Corn Belt, the mm-hmm. southern plains, the southeast United States. It tends to get more wet in an El Nino.
Thank you much, Don. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
That's Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can tune in on Fridays at this time to Commodity Week, our weekly look at the fundamentals and technicals of the marketplace. And if you miss it, you can also go to the web at WILLAG.org, where we put all of our audio every day of all of our analysts. Go there, and you can learn a few things. This is Dave Dickey.